the enemy is upon us, it's time to dig in, to stand our ground, and watch for the next attack. You're in the Foxhole with Jason Mark.
Hey, good evening, all. This is JB again, coming back at you from the Foxhole, where we stand our ground and watch for the enemy's next move. Today is the 4th of January, 2024. The dumpster fire is raging. Gather around, collect the one. You know, I've been watching the Walking Dead series lately, and I'm looking at that and, rewatching it, I should say. And it looks pretty appealing to me compared to what we got going on now. But anyway, tonight, what we're going to do, we're going to talk about a little bit more EMF stuff. And I kind of looked at it from a different angle this time. My research kind of led me into not just the physical effects of EMF. And if you don't know what that is, that's like your Wi-Fi, your cell phone towers, electromagnetic frequencies. I'm looking at the mental aspect of it now. And it's quite shocking what I'm finding. And I think it explains a lot of issues. We will talk a little bit about the physical. I think that COVID was a smokescreen for something they did recently that was pretty big. And we'll get into that. Anyway, and tonight what I'm going to do is I'm going to open it up. If anybody wants to come in and talk on these topics, I'm just going to drop the link in the chat. I've already done it. Let me go ahead again. And if you don't know what chat I'm talking about, it is in the Rumble chat. Look for the Foxhole channel. Let me paste it in there again. Boom. There we go. So right away, let me give shout outs because there's a lot of people that were kind of waiting to kind of check this out. So, of course, Pigeon is there, which is Doc. Surge the Purge, check him out. And Surge, you need to hop in here so we can promote you and get you that viewership you need to go live because you're doing some really good work, like man on the street kind of work. And we need to get you on Rumble instead of just YouTube. Karen Carpenter's in there. What's up, Karen? Good to see you. I hope to see you in here tonight. I know you know a lot on this topic. Angry Tiger. And let me say, first off, last night, Angry Tiger, he did an EMF episode as well on his show, The Tiger's Den. And I'm going to go ahead and plug him straight away because that was an amazing show. He had Vince Agnelli on, which is an author, and he's an engineer. And he knows a lot about this stuff. And then he had Rhonda Tate, which is our lovely Belle from the South. And she's very versed in this stuff as well. And I'm telling you, that was an amazing show. Let me go ahead and see if I can share it. If you don't know who Tiger is, because you need to check out this show. Let's see. Go here to thenightsofthestorm.com. And if you go to the Friends tab, scroll down, you'll see Angry Tiger. And it's got his Substack, his YouTube, Rumble. I think YouTube, he's on the naughty list for YouTube right now. Is this your final strike, brother? Are you on your third strike? Yeah, they don't like what he has to say because he preaches the truth. Or you can go to his website. And then there you go. You can see where to get him there. But definitely, that's kind of like a must-see episode yesterday. I'm not going to talk so much what they talked. But they covered a lot of very valid scientifically provable stuff of how this EMF stuff is not good for us. And we need to, I don't know what we can do about it. I think the first thing is to educate people. And anyway, let me continue on. Make sure you check that episode out. It was really great last night. Brian Taylor's in the house. What's up, Brian? You're welcome to join as well. Little John, what's going on? And I think that's who we have now. A lot of chat going on. Kind of hard to keep up with. But anybody wants to jump in, please feel free to jump in. I dropped the link in the chat. And I guess I'll get it started. Hey, Hal 9000 Watson. That's a guy I met over on, D-Live, right? And then they kicked him off D-Live. So he's over here on Rumble now. So good to see you, Hal. Anyway, so I guess I'll get started with why I'm covering this tonight. And it's been kind of a long journey for me. What got me looking into EMF, and just to put it up front, I have a background with EMF because I worked, my first job in the Army was a point-to-point radio guy. And we had I went through like 9 months of schooling on this stuff. So I'm very well versed at how this stuff works and the dangers of it. Of course, I didn't really think about it too much because this is like point-to-point, and unless you get between those two points, it's very focused, almost like a laser beam not quite as narrow as a laser beam, but as long as you didn't get in front of it, you were okay. So I didn't give it much thought until, you know, not recently with the 5G rollout and stuff like that. It got me to thinking about it a little bit more. And then I'm talking to people like Angry Tiger. I'm talking to Karen Carpenter, Vince Agnelli, Rhonda Tate. These are kind of our foremost experts in our little circle of people. And trust me, they know what the hell they're talking about. Vince Agnelli impressed the hell out of me for not having a background in actual radio. He knows his stuff. So he really, like, everything he said was bang on, 100% correct as far as my schooling and my education in this, like professional schooling. So anyway, going back to what I was saying, the story goes like this. So I'm chilling in Georgia. COVID comes around. Everything's hunky-dory, all that good stuff. I'm kind of fighting the jab kind of thing. And all of a sudden, my blood pressure spikes to stroke levels overnight. And I'm like, what's going on here? So, you know, I'm looking at a diet. I'm looking into this, that, and the other. And if you know anything about medical conditions, they're usually, they kind of creep up on you. Diabetes, high blood pressure, high cholesterol, things like that. It's kind of like indicators along the way. But this was literally like someone turned on a light switch. And so I'm looking at COVID as the reason. You know, is COVID, did I get shed on with the vaccine? Did I catch COVID and now I got the long COVID? You know, I'm looking at all this stuff, but now I'm starting to look at the 5G as the culprit. And let me go share this. First off, I guess we'll start with this. And I'm going to get into why I think that might be the case. And it might be the case for a lot of us. And again, I was going to talk about the mental aspect, but let's get into the physical first, because we have to prove that it actually does something. And I think there's more than enough proof. There's thousands, tens of thousands of peer-reviewed documents online hosted at the NIH, by the way, that say that, yeah, it's a danger. So I guess I'll start with this one article. Oh, here we go. And this comes from Scientific American. We have no reason to believe 5G is safe. I agree. They've done tons and tons of studies with rats, and they'll expose them to one particular frequency for 15 to 45 minutes, maybe two or three times. They'll measure the chemical levels in the brain and things like that before and after, or in their blood. I'm not sure how they measure it. But they have, I did a complete breakdown of this. And again, this is not about the physical aspect so much tonight. I want to talk about the mental aspect. But they've definitely proven that EMF has an effect on the body. And, you know, going back to Angry Tiger show last night, the blood-brain barrier, which is very important. That's what we're going to get to eventually. But yeah, there's no reason to believe it's safe, because we know it has an effect in the body. I guess it's kind of like, what's a safe level? Now, if we roll down here, and I kind of highlighted something here. See if I can find it. Oh, I lost it. What the heck? I lost it. This is live radio, folks. Live radio. Well, here we go. Nope, that's not it. I lost it. Anyway, the point is that the here we go. This was the paragraph I wanted to read. So the RF exposure limits regulate the intensity of exposure. So again, I'm talking about, they do these tests with they'll shoot like one frequency in a very controlled environment into a rat. They also use ferrets and they use rabbits and other things, because you know, body mass has a lot to do with it. And they'll determine, okay, this is a safe level. That's, yeah, safe if it's only one signal going out, right? But they regulate the intensity of exposure, taking into account the frequency of the carrier waves. And that's important to note too, carrier waves. I want you to remember that term, carrier wave, because that's something that I had to get intimately familiar with in my previous job in the Army. And that's that even if you're not using your phone, if nobody's on it, and this is important with the 5G rollout, because even though 5G wasn't active on people's phones, those carrier waves were still there. They turned it on and they were kind of testing the equipment, and then people started getting sick. Now, am I saying 5G gave people COVID? No, I'm not saying that. Okay, that's kind of bombastic reporting. Did 5G make people more susceptible to catch COVID? Absolutely. I would say that that's 100% for some people, maybe not all people. Now, the other thing is, and I'll get to that. I'm going to hold that. Anyway, taking into account the frequency of the carrier waves, but ignoring the signal properties of the RFR, along with the patterning and duration of exposures. So there we go. I've mentioned this before. Duration, proximity, duration, that's a big thing. And when they test these things on these rats, they expose them for 45 minutes, 30 minutes, 15 minutes, maybe three times a day for 2 weeks, whatever. Understand that these carrier waves are running 24/7. There is no turning it off. It's not like, well, no one's on their phone right now, so I'm safe. You know, or I got to have three people near me on their phone before I feel like I'm in danger. No, this is an omnidirectional signal that is hitting you regardless. You know, the pulsation, that's going to come whenever people are actually talking, but the carrier wave is always there. It's always running. Okay, and I will continue. Certain characteristics of the signal, pulsing, polarization, increase the biological and health impacts. Again, you know, when people are on it, it's going to be worse of the exposure. New exposure limits are needed, which account for these different effects. So basically what they're saying right here is that the testing on the rats, they expose them to basically the carrier wave for a certain amount of time. They'll do that a couple times a day for a couple weeks, and then they'll check the blood levels or whatever, the chemical levels, and say, okay, this is kind of the safe level. Well, that doesn't take into account real world application. It also doesn't take into account that there's like five towers around you. You know, you have overlap, and we'll talk about that hopefully in a bit. Moreover, those limits should be based on biological effect, not a change in a laboratory rat's behavior. Exactly. Just as I said, the studies we've seen so far in laboratory rats already show that there's problems, and it's not just physical. You know, I was looking at this stuff like I'm getting cooked in a microwave. 2.45 gigahertz. That's what your microwave runs at. That's also what your Wi-Fi runs at. Okay. And that's also the cell phone range spans that. So there are cell phones that run, depending on how far away from the tower you are and whether you're 3G or 4G or whatever, you're going to hit that range. But understand, carrier waves are there regardless. If I have a 5G phone, I'm still getting hit with 4G carrier waves 24/7 constantly. It doesn't stop. And that exposure is not the 15 minutes, you know, three, four times a day for 2 weeks that they test on a rat. This is 24/7 your entire life, you know, unless you can move out in the sticks, which that's going to go away because Starlink is going to blanket the earth. And that's what they've said. They want to do away with towers and have it all satellite based. That is their goal, their end goal. And it's clearly stated. So anyway, let's take a look at the chat real quick. Brian, yes, we need 5G to keep up with China. Why? We can already stream an HD video in real time with almost little to no buffering with the current technology. Why do we need 5G? And I would love for somebody to come on and talk about that because I know the answer to it. I want someone else to come on and tell me. Hey, Dad Guy's in there. What's up, Dad Guy? That's Patrick the Plumber. We got Angus Mustang. What's going on, Angus? I'll be on with him Saturday. Not sure what we're talking about yet, but we'll be on Knights of the Storm Saturday. I already said hi to Little John. Wow, a lot of chat going on. But yeah, Brian's talking about they're pushing the 5G to keep up with China. I'm sure China's saying they're pushing the 5G to keep up with us, but it is the police surveillance state. That's exactly what they need, Brian. You're correct. 15-minute city kind of stuff. The link. All right. Let me drop it, Serge. Give me 1 second. Sorry. This is live, folks. Copy and paste. Boom. All right. So anyway, that was the first article there. Real simple. People are already saying, hey, 5G is not safe. Or they're questioning, is it safe? But then I want to move on to this because I noticed a lot of issues specifically with my story with the high blood pressure. And my symptoms were this. I'll tell you my symptoms. It wasn't just high blood pressure. It was very rapid heart rate. So my resting heart rate, and I happen to know my resting heart rate because I had to take that before I went to Master Fitness Trainer course in the Army, which is kind of like a, almost like a personal trainer kind of thing. You know, it doesn't mean I'm super awesome or, you know, in shape. It just means that I have the knowledge about diet and exercise and stuff. But a week prior to that, or 2 weeks prior to that, I had to do an every day when I wake up in the morning, you know, get up and then I sit down and I take my pulse and stuff like that. My resting heart rate was anywhere from like 70 to 75. After the high blood pressure thing, I had to start monitoring my stuff. And they put me on some bad medications, which I'm actually not taking them right now because they're causing other problems. I'm doing other things to mitigate that blood pressure. But anyway, my resting heart rate went up to about 100 to 110. That is waking up in the morning, sitting there doing nothing. That is one of the side effects of 5G, believe it or not. Well, I won't say 5G. I will say EMF overexposure in general. Getting hot out of nowhere. I would get hot. You get up and walk across the room. My resting heart rate would jump up to like 130. Not my resting, my actual heart rate would jump up to like 130, just walking across the room. And I would just be physically exhausted. So these are things that I found through this research were actually symptoms. And I'm going to show you, actually, I don't have that one, but they were symptoms of overexposure to EMF. And, you know, to be fair, someone like myself, being a ginger, redheaded guy, we are more susceptible to EMF than other people. So kind of like the canary in the coal mine kind of thing. But anyway, somebody sent me this. I'm going to add it. This is what got me going down this rabbit hole, which isn't really a rabbit hole. It's just research. So there's an article out at the NIH, and it's called Evidence for a Connection Between Coronavirus Disease 19, that's your COVID-19, and exposure to radio frequency radiation from wireless communications, including 5G. And I'm not going to read through this. This is, and this is a very difficult episode to put together because I literally looked at 60 to 70 different articles, and it's so difficult to put it into a comprehensive like order to go through, and so much reading. So I'm just kind of hitting the highlights, but I'm telling you, these are very, very easy to find online, and they're not conspiracy theory websites. This is NIH, World Health Organization, stuff like that. So here's what the nuts and bolts of this article says. And again, we're on the physical part of the exposure, not the mental part, but I want to get to the mental part. That's very important, especially with this shooting that just happened, because I'm going to maybe tie that in. So here we go. This is bioeffects of wireless communications. It's a table for those that are listening. So the bioeffects of the wireless exposure, and then it pairs it against COVID-19, what manifests with that. And again, I'm not saying, I'm not going to be that crazy person and bombastically report to say that, oh, 5G is making COVID. No, I'm not saying that. COVID was the flu, in my opinion. But we had so many cases reported, and I think many of those clinical diagnoses, because we didn't have any kind of testing means, and even when we did, those testing means are BS anyway. I think a lot of the diagnosis for COVID was actually because they flipped the 5G on in all these places, and people started manifesting these symptoms. And, you know, for a lot of people, they'll get, you know, their body will adjust, your brain chemistry will adjust, and they'll kind of come out of it. They won't be 100%. They may still have the brain fog and some other things that, you know, Angry Tiger and Vince and Rhonda talked about, that are proven, they're actual proven side effects of EMF exposure. They'll have that, but then they'll call that long COVID, like, oh, you had long COVID. But you know, for people like me, it doesn't go away. So here we go. We got, I'm not going to read everything off here, but they compare, blood changes. I don't know what these words mean. I'm just telling you that they're the same thing. You know, there's short-term, long-term, symptoms. A lot of the COVID-19 stuff lines up with the overexposure to EMF, oxidative stress, and I know Tiger knows exactly what that means. That oxidative thing is actually what causes problems with the blood-brain barrier, if I'm not mistaken. Free radicals, deals with getting rid of free radicals. And that's, if you can't get rid of the free radicals, you know, you're looking at breakdown of DNA and early onset of cancers. So COVID and the EMF exposure have those both in common. And this is the big one: immune system disruption and activation. So the immune system, and this is where I think that 5G is really related to the COVID. There was something going around. I know people that got sick. They were legit sick. But is it something they could have fought off, but their immune system was suppressed because of the 5G rollout? That's kind of the question I have. Or you have like the super activation. So it kind of goes either way. Either your immune system goes in high mode and it freaks out and your body freaks out, and then you're going to have all those symptoms of being sick because your body's in like fight mode, or your immune system's suppressed and then you're more likely to get sick. And I think that's kind of where we fall. Again, I'm not going to say that 5G caused COVID, but if 5G makes your immune system weaker just enough, you know, you're going to catch this kind of like, COVID was kind of a benign disease. It was like a weak flu, but people got really sick from it, potentially because their bodies were not ready to fight it. You know, they were in a suppressed mode. Karen Carpenter says all flu symptoms can be EMF. And I would love for you to come talk to me about that, because I have some other stuff I want to tie in. There's some other kind of anecdotal things going on right now that nobody's reporting on that kind of aligns with that assessment, Karen. Tiger says the lizard people are watching me. I love it. Tinfoil hat. I'm thinking about making a tinfoil hat. Not because I'm crazy, because I want to protect my brain from the EMF. Anyway, I don't know if that'll work. I'd probably have to ground it and walk around with, like, remember the old days when you'd be on the phone and the only privacy was when you got one of those 30-foot coily wires so you can go in the bathroom and talk? You know, that's what I'd have to do for my tinfoil hat if I want to move around the house. Hey, Stealth Construction. Good to see you. I'm trying to see if we have anybody else that joined. Nope, I don't see. Anyway. So yeah, immune system problems, either ramped up or ramped down. That was also a thing that was with COVID. Cardiac problems, arrhythmias. Oh, and that's another symptom I had. I was having like arrhythmias. They've kind of subsided now, and I think it's because I live here now, and I have a lot less exposure to the 5G. And don't get me wrong, I'm not blaming this all on 5G. This is an accumulation. You know, we have the 3G, the 4G. They said they phased the 3G out. Guess what? They didn't. I had AT&T, and I'm using my wife's old, the Samsung Galaxy S5. That's the phone she had. So I had to use it because I got mine wet, and it quit working. It eventually started working. It's this phone, actually, right here. But it quit working for a while, so I threw my SIM card in there and was using her phone. Well, they send her a text message, and it's actually when we were on the road to come purchase this house here in Georgia, in Missouri. Sorry, I need some coffee there. Anyway, they sent her a message saying that the 3G was no longer going to be supported, and her phone would not be supported after a certain day. Well, lo and behold, we're on the road, and her phone shuts off. The problem is, her phone was a 4G LTE phone. So why did it shut off? They shut it off because they thought she was still using the Galaxy S5. She wasn't. I bought her a phone online, paid cash for it, unlocked phone. I threw the SIM card in, so she had a newer phone, and I was using hers. So supposedly, the 3G was supposed to be shut off at that date, which means that my phone should have quit working. But my phone continued to work for another month. The only reason it quit working is because something happened and I had to troubleshoot and I swapped SIM cards. And then now AT&T has a new thing where if you swap SIM cards, it locks your phone and you get to call them and tell them what phone you have. They're getting to the point now where you can't use your own phone. You have to use one of theirs so you can stay under contract. That's a whole nother conversation. That's a whole other mafia scam right there. But anyway, it proved to me that as they were rolling out or getting ready to roll out 5G and they're going to phase out 3G, they didn't actually turn those towers off. Now, I want you to think about that for a minute. You got the 3G, you got the 4G, you got the 5G, all running at the same time. And I got some graphics I'll share with you here in a minute, but those aren't, it's not just one carrier. You know, we talked about the carrier waves. It's not one carrier. They actually broadcast multiple frequencies. Some are for faster data if you're close in, and then some of the lower data when you're far out. But you're getting hit with, so imagine if you had one antenna, or here's a good way to explain it. I got a router sitting right here. It's Wi-Fi capable, of course, like all routers now. And it has the B through G, right? The wireless B through G, which is one kind of signal that puts out. But then you have the N. And if you look, if you've got a phone and you know, a phone that's capable of doing both, you know, either or, you pull up and you'll see your network listed twice. What that means is there's two signals. So you're getting double hit with EMF. It's not just, you know, you got one router, but you're getting double exposure. Yeah, they're different frequencies, but it's still EMF. And it adds up. So I guess I'll jump to that next. But that's what I'm saying is when they turned the 5G on, they did not turn the other stuff off. So I'm kind of working on this article I might or might not publish. But I took an inventory in my house. And trust me, I'm a typical American house, if not more low-tech than most people. 30-plus signals constantly bombarding me 24 hours a day in this house. 30-plus. And I'm going to break them down because I couldn't believe it either. I sat and took it, and I'm probably missing a few. I actually went out today to see if I had a smart meter, and I'm pretty sure I didn't, and it looks like I don't. So somebody maybe could jump in the chat and maybe share a link to a picture of what a smart meter looks like. Mine's digital, but I don't think it's smart. Anyway, so my cell phone, my wife's cell phone, both have three signals constantly being broadcast. You got your Wi-Fi, if it's turned on, you got your cellular band, and you got your Bluetooth. So that's three for my phone, three for my wife's phone. Now we're up to six, right? So I got six signals constantly bombarding us. My router, it's got two bands. It's got the B through G band and the N band. So that's two more. DirecTV, my wife got that when she moved here. I was still in Georgia. We got one upstairs, one box upstairs, one box downstairs, and their Wi-Fi. That's how they use our internet to do the, DirecTV streaming service or whatever. That's the only thing we could really get here unless we got satellite. But anyway, and that's another thing. You're getting hit with that stuff. And you don't even know how many satellites are up there just broadcasting. You know, it's just because you don't have, if you don't have satellite, it doesn't mean you're not getting hit with it. It's like, if I was to tune into KC95, that's an awesome station, by the way, in St. Louis, KC95, if I was to tune into it, it's not like they're beaming that to my car as I'm driving. It is omnidirectional. It's going, everyone's getting hit with this. It's just whether you're tuned into it or not. So, you know, I hear people talking about, oh, you talk on the phone, you're getting hit with the signal. You're getting hit with the signal regardless. You're just doubling it when you put it next to your, you know, when your phone's broadcasting as well, or someone near you is broadcasting, but you're still getting hit with it. It is omnidirectional. So anyway, continue on. We got the two direct TV boxes. We got one smart TV, which I have no idea how to turn the Wi-Fi off in that. We don't actually use it, but it's a horrible story. My wife broke our huge 56-inch TV or whatever, bouncing a ball around in the house. Yeah, go figure. Teach the kid not to do it, and she does it. But so we grabbed an old TV that I got one of my daughters when they lived with us, and it's a smart TV, so it's running the Wi-Fi. I got my Blink system, which I'm thinking about uninstalling. Blink system, that's kind of like your what's the Amazon one that everyone uses? I can't think of it offhand. Anyway, it's the doorbell thing where it comes on your phone and you can see when people are at your house. But I've also got two security cameras that go with it, so I can look at the front door and or the back door and then the basement door in case someone tries to break in. My phone will go off. But that's the two cameras, the doorbell itself, with the camera, and then the control module, which plugs into the wall here, that's four different signals right there. My wife's computer is Wi-Fi. Mine was Wi-Fi. I actually hardwired it to cut that one down. But she's got two as well because she's got the B and G enabled and N band. Still communicating whether or not she's on it. The neighbor's Wi-Fi, nine freaking signals. Nine signals I can see. I could turn my phone on right now and I see, and it's probably not nine routers out there, but they're all broadcasting two signals each. You know, the B through G band and the N band, nine. Imagine living in an apartment building. How much exposure you're getting from all these people's routers, and everything's Wi-Fi now. My router, every router I've had up until this point, I can go in there and turn the Wi-Fi off. This one I can't. I have to like contact the company and get some password or have them do it. They're really, they don't want you to be able to have control of this stuff. Call in. Yeah, come on, Doc. Let's go. Hop in here, brother. I'm looking at the chat right now. If you're listening, I'm just kind of pausing to look at the chat. Hal 9000 Watson eliminated about 75% of his household Wi-Fi, and he sleeps way better. Hal, that is a fact, brother. That is a fact. I actually have started unplugging the Wi-Fi, unplugging the Blink system, at least the control module, putting the phones in airplane mode. That cuts down. Now, the neighbor's Wi-Fi, I can't do nothing about, but it's pretty weak. We have one that's pretty strong, but the others are pretty weak. So that exposure is limited. And where we sleep is down in the basement. So I know the phones don't hardly work out there, down there in the basement. So 100%, you will sleep much better. And if you do that two or three nights in a row, you're going to wake up less at night. So that the insomnia is one of the side effects, by the way. You'll wake up less at night. You'll wake up feeling more refreshed. Ring. Okay. Brian says Ring. That's what I was thinking of for the security system. The Ring. Yeah. Thank you, Brian. But anyway, all right. Take care, Tiger. I see you got to take off. But anyway, where was I at? Let me get back to my list. Neighbor's Wi-Fi was nine. Bluetooth devices. We don't have a lot of them around here. I mean, I do have the headphones, but I, you know, they're usually stuck in the box. I don't use them unless I have to. But I got my Fitbit watch. And then, of course, we got the two phones that have Bluetooth turned on. And then I got my mouse is Bluetooth. And then cellular towers. So I have at least two. I don't know how many towers are within range of us. I just know that at least two different carriers are broadcasting onto us. And I put the plus there because those carriers, they're broadcasting multiple frequencies. So this adds up to 30 plus. I would say it's more closer to like 50 different frequencies, because if you look at the, and let me go ahead and pull this up. Okay. I just want to show what I'm talking about with this. Actually, let me get this together. I want to play Tiger's commercial. Like I said, go check out Tiger. His show last night was phenomenal. And yeah, let me go ahead and play it. Are you ready? Financial news.
So you see, you would figure with some of this calamity going on, the markets would be devastated. I wonder why they're not. Do you think the banks are the only place that the central banks are injecting liquidity and money into?
Geopolitics.
I mean, this is after the Cold War, after the USSR fell, and bang, now we got this Ukraine thing. Same thing with this. There's something going on in Taiwan. We're going to get our stick our noses where they don't belong in Taiwan if they have some kind of problem with China. They're building up to this.
Religion.
I think what we have found out is that man taints the religion, that governments and people in power who are looking for power taint the religion.
Addiction special.
I wanted to talk about, and I know we've touched on this before, we touched on nicotine last time. I want to touch on the cell phones.
Epic rants.
We are clowns. They are, the world laughs at us. We are morons. It's so infantile. That is infantile. There is zero dignity left.
Catch the Angry Tiger's Den Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on YouTube, Rumble, and Twitter. Also, tune in Sundays at 8 p.m. Eastern for the Tiger and Snake Financial Report. See you there. All right, and we're back. That was Angry Tiger. And I just wanted to get a minute to find these graphics. That's why I played that when I did. But anyway, so what I was talking about, when you're within range of a cell phone tower, it's not like you're getting one signal. It's not like a walkie-talkie. You know, you're on channel 15 or whatever. This is a breakdown of, this is the old stuff, like the 3, 4G kind of stuff. You can see these different circles. It's broadcasting all of these different signals at one time. It's just some of them are close in and some of them work further out. So if you're out here at, this is 3 miles, by the way. So you're talking 1 to 3 miles, which incidentally, people think that 5G only works like super close and they got to put them every block. That's not true. 5G works up to 3 miles out as well. And the carrier goes further than that. It just isn't effective. But, you know, they want everyone to have this inner circle, which is your super high speed stuff. Now on this outer circle, you're probably gonna get some buffering. You could use your phone, you know, make phone calls and stuff like that. But if you're in this inner circle, you're actually exposed to all of these, you know, that's what 1, 2, 3, 4 different signals or 4 different frequency ranges right there from one tower. And that's from one carrier like AT&T. What if there's a Sprint tower mounted up there too? You're getting double. So, and then they get this. This is what the 5G looks like. A little bit different style graphic, but kind of the same. So you get your 28 gigahertz. That's your real close stuff. That's what they want. They want to get these towers so close together that everything can get this 28 gigahertz. And then a little further away, if you can't space them so close together, you're talking 3.5 gig and further and further and further. But again, if you're near one of these towers, let's say they put one up next to your house, you're getting hit with all of these. That's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 frequencies. You're getting bombarded with 24/7 plus 1, 2, 3, 4 from the 4G. That's 10 right there. That's 10 constant carrier waves, whether someone's using the phone or not. You're constantly getting bombarded with. I want you to think about that for a minute. That's why when I took inventory and I said, I've got 30 freaking different signals bombarding my body 24 hours a day, just in my house and my neighbor's house alone that I know of. Imagine how much more from the cell phone towers in range of me. You know, fortunately, and I will say there's good news here. This house, it gets 5G, but it gets that really low, that really far end 5G. And that one right here, this far one out here. So we're not getting exposed to all this because I have a freaking mountain like right behind my house and the 5G towers on the other side of that mountain. So fortunate for me, that's the case. They couldn't, you know, I looked at getting internet here. We have limited choices and I could have got the 5G in this area. But they said my particular neighborhood, because of that mountain. And they actually said that it's because of the terrain blocks that signal from getting to me. So they couldn't guarantee the speed. So I know I'm still getting hit with it, but it's not as bad. A lot of this stuff is line of sight, you know. I'm looking at the comments real quick if you're listening in. Hal 9000 of Watson. There's been so many times I may sleep 8+ hours, but never feel rested. 100%, brother, 100%. I knew it had something to do with all things wireless. Well, last night, I woke up and I went to bed kind of late last night, actually. I meant to go to bed early, but I went to bed probably around midnight and I woke up at 1:30, wide awake. And I got up and watched some more Walking Dead and then went back to sleep. And I woke up at, I almost slept through day and night, actually. And I felt like I didn't sleep at all. We've got Surge the Purge with us. Let me bring Surge in. Let me play your bumper real quick, brother. Let me find it. I know I got it here. There it is.
How's it going?
I love that bumper. That's pretty cool. Did you make that yourself?
Kind of. I had a friend and I both collabed on it, but I appreciate that.
Yeah, it's pretty dope, man. Anyway, what do you think so far about... Did you imagine, you know, looking in your house, you know, oh, I got a Wi-Fi router, I got Wi-Fi on my phone, and, you know, maybe I got one of the Nest things or I got a Echo Dot. Did you imagine that we have that many signals bouncing around?
Yeah, well, you know, frankly, it's something that I imagine all the time when I'm just out and about. And I think of it from a standpoint from living in a big city, because I've pretty much been, you know, a big city guy my whole adult life, which I get is kind of, well, I grew up in the big city too, right? I grew up in Phoenix. And I definitely have noticed a change in kind of what you're talking about. And first of all, I just want to say, like, dude, the amount of research you put into this is like amazing.
It's, you know, I had like 50 freaking articles with little things highlighted from each, and they were all from credible sources, peer reviewed. And I'm like, It's so hard. This topic is so expansive. And I haven't even got to the mental stuff yet. You know, I'm just kind of,
well, that's kind of that's kind of what I was going to mention is I think, Gen Z, which is my generation, you know, for one, everyone's addicted to their phones. I mean, I'm literally on my phone right now. Like, I just parked over here to Safeway. So, cause I was listening to this while I was driving home, so I could jump on. But you know, you think about it now and you have a cell phone in your pocket. You almost feel naked without it, you know, wherever you go, you know, so you're basically just getting hit with this stuff 24/7. I mean, when you sleep, most people sleep with their phone next to them. So it kind of, you know, everything that you're saying resonates with me, and maybe even to a higher degree, because, you know, I think you're right about the COVID thing, because I know when, okay, like, I want to say like 2024. Or I'm not 2024, 2020. I kind of feel what you're saying with, like, it was just, it almost felt like one day you woke up and all of a sudden brain fog, all this fatigue. And I totally resonate with what you're saying. Cause I remember literally like one day I woke up and the same exact thing, like my heart rate, resting heart rate was like, so this is actually a crazy story too. Cause this kind of ties into what you were talking about. I went to the doctor at one point around that time, maybe a little bit later, because I had some issues with carpal tunnel. And, you know, they always do like the whole thing, right? Where you go in the nurse's office.
Yeah, the triage. They always triage you. Yeah.
Right.
Temperature, right. So your blood pressure. Yeah.
Yeah. So they took my blood pressure, whatever, you know, listening to my heart rate. And the nurse was like, oh, this can't be right. I'm like, what do you mean? She's like, oh, if this was your heart rate, you'd be having a heart attack right now. And I remember thinking, like, no, that's correct. That is my heart rate. Because it was like the same thing you're saying. Like, I was doing nothing, but yet I could actually feel it was, you know, my heart rate like pounding.
For me, you know, anytime in the Army, if you're not feeling well, you can't do PT, you got to go to what's called sick call. And sick call's got the, you know, the medics that will check you out and determine if you need to go to see the doctor, get an appointment for whatever, but you got to check them out first. Otherwise you got to do PT, you know. It sucks when you're sick and then you got to go out and run 5 miles or whatever. That really sucks. But, you know, every time I had been to sick call in the past, my entire career, they would always take my blood pressure two or three times and say, is your blood pressure normally this low? So it was always a concern. Yeah, it was low, 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 low. And I was like, yeah, that's normal. I hear that all the time. That's normal. No big deal. And then all of a sudden, overnight, I go in and they're like, wow, your blood pressure is really high. And they're like, sit down here for a minute. And you know what's really screwed about it is they'll walk away. They'll tell you to sit with your feet flat. You know, do deep breathe. They want to get your blood pressure down so they get that reading and they could check you out, you know? So yeah, that happened every single time. It was like one day. It just became a thing. And then my heart rate went up, exhaustion all the time. Walking across the room would just exhaust me. Overheating. Now, I think the overheating was the medication they put me on, but I can't prove that. Although I did look up the side effects and that was, they switched my medication.
If your heart rate is up, I think you'd naturally overheat anyways. So I guess that would make some sense. I'm kind of eager to hear your thoughts on the mental health aspect of it, how it affects people mentally. I know you mentioned the brain fog stuff.
Yeah. And that was another thing that I did an interview with Dr. LaGuardia, and I wrote an article on the brain fog. And that was something that came not right away, you know, after the blood pressure issues and the elevated heart rate and all that. But it slowly took over time. And I'm like, well, it's got to be my diet. It's got to be. I'm taking fish oil now. I'm taking multivitamins. I'm taking ginkgo biloba, you know, but it doesn't really, it hasn't really fixed it. And so looking through this research, and let me see if I can find one of these articles. See, here we go. Low frequency, zero. This is from an NIH article as well. It's titled Effects of Electromagnetic Fields, Exposure on the Antioxidant Defense System. And this is what Tiger and them were talking about last night. And it talks about these different frequencies. So ELF, or very low frequency, is pretty bad for you. But then this higher frequency is also very bad for you. I think the stuff in the middle, like, you know, the radio, your AM, FM, not so bad.
Right.
But, you know, once you get to those shorter waves, and it's really, really bad. And it actually breaks down DNA as well, they're proving. So it's also been reported.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say the 10. So I'll go to the higher one, 10 megahertz to 300 gigahertz. EMF has also been reported to alter the permeability of the blood-brain barrier. At the same time, these changes in the blood-brain barrier may lead to excess accumulation of heavy metals. And we know that that's attributed to autism and things like that, right? Mm-hmm. And specifically iron in the brain. This effect may trigger several neuron disorders, neuronal. Is that a word? Neuronal? I didn't know that was a word.
I don't blame you on that one.
Some studies have reported that DNA damage and blood-brain barrier disruption is connected, and that autism.
You know, that's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I want to say that I run into, I mean, probably like, I want to say like, okay, 30% of kids that I run into. I mean, this is just a number I'm pulling out here. I don't know if that's accurate, but just from my own experience, I would say like 30% of the kids I meet nowadays have autism, or at least they claim to. Their parents claim they have some form of autism.
Here we go. I want to show you this.
Yeah.
And I actually have two articles, and this one, the first one I knew about, this was looking at the effects of prenatal and neonatal. That means baby, you know, baby rats. Mm-hmm. And I've reported on this article before. This is just the kind of the summary of it, but they did further studies with actual kids. Exposure limits, the underestimation of absorbed cell phone radiation, especially in children. Hmm. And here's the one thing, this is just from the abstract, the SAR, which is specific absorption rate. Okay, so that's kind of like the dosage, I guess you could say. Specific absorption rate for a 10-year-old is up to 153% higher than than the SAR for the same model. And I'll just paraphrase what they did here is that they put together, I didn't test it on actual kids. What they did was they made little dummy heads, I guess you could say, and they configured them to be like the human head. And they found that with children, and this is where I really wanted to go with this tonight, and shit, we might run over a little bit over an hour, but I'm not worried about it. With this shooting that happened today, that's why I kind of shifted this whole show and I kind of tried to put it together. But 153% higher in children, this effect of EMF. And I've already laid out how many signals that are around us of different, and by the way, I think I mentioned it. Your microwave works on 2.45 gigahertz, and that's the same. Your Wi-Fi covers that range, and so do your cell phones. So we're literally microwaving ourselves on top of that. So and they're going to be doing it from space. But no, the children are more affected. And I asked myself, I said, why are we having all these damn school shootings? You know, and I don't think that they're mind controlling kids. I don't think that the Wi-Fi or whatever is making them go crazy. But what I do think is happening is it's causing things, other problems like, what is it, depression, anxiety are two side effects of overexposure.
Well, that's what I was going to say was, the overexposure like can physically mess with your hormones.
It does. Testosterone was one of the things that was messed with under certain frequencies, but they were lower.
Well, like, think about this. Carrying around, because being with your phone or whatever, now we have the iPad generation coming up after me here. You know, every parent puts an iPad in front of their kid. Here you go. Don't bother me. Yeah. One thing I noticed personally, just, you know, look like editing videos, right, for YouTube, you know, you look at a screen for long enough, you get a headache for, you know, within an hour or so, at least for me personally. That's not normal. So I think to the iPad generation of people, which is somewhat includes my generation for sure, I think it confuses your body physically, which is, you know, which is probably how you get, and I'm not attributing all of it to 5G, obviously, because there's plenty of, here's how I think it ties into what you're saying is you have kids that are exposed to 5G more than adults, in my personal opinion, like just like I'm talking about where everyone's addicted to your phone. But then you have adults that end up capitalizing off of that. Like you have, you know, basically the psychologist generation now. Just prescribing drugs, or I should say psychiatrists.
That's where I was going with it, is that the kids do, you see kids walking around in their hoodie with their earbuds in.
Yeah.
24/7. So you get your Bluetooth exposure there.
Yeah. David Knight had that guy talking about the Bluetooth headphones. Yeah.
They got their AirPods in 24/7. They got their phone on them. They're more not like phone against the head kind of generation. They're more like in front of their face generation, you know, cause they're all text, but it's still, you've got your Bluetooth headphones, one in each ear. You get the Bluetooth coming from the phone. You've got the Wi-Fi. I guarantee you their Wi-Fi is turned on, and then you got the cellular network. And so they're constantly exposed to this way more than adults are. Actually I would argue that adults are getting that bad now as well. But
I think they're starting to, and from what I recall as well, is like companies like Apple, you know, that just have it as a default on your phone, don't have any regulation at all on Bluetooth. So no one actually really knows what it's doing. It's like, okay, yeah, it's kind of a radio signal. It's kind of its own thing, but
it's a radio signal. The Bluetooth is just the protocol. It's like how it communicates, like, you know, how the ones and zeros get sent, how it packages up packets and things like that. But it's right. still a radio signal. I had to look that up too, because I'm like, what is Bluetooth? But it's just a protocol, kind of like a HTTP protocol, sure. You know, and you know, how it's just how two pieces of equipment, you know, handshake.
Well, yeah, makes you wonder where they came up with that word. You know, you got Bluetooth. You got
There's actually a thing behind it. I can't remember offhand because I do have the brain fog still, but I actually looked that up. I'm like,
what's the Bluetooth invented? You know, everything's blue. They're blue. You know, their politics are blue. No.
Yeah. Right. No, but back to this, you know, with the kids and I, you know, like I said, I don't think that 5G is necessarily the problem. I think it's the accumulation. They turned another network on that has multiple carriers getting shot out. And you know, I looked up this shooting that just happened, just, you know, it's anecdotal, whatever, but I looked up this school where the shooting happened on the map, and there are two 5G towers on either side of this school, and each one has two carriers on it. So you're talking basically the equivalent of four towers. Now that, what does that mean? I don't know. I would say, If this actually, what did I say the number was? If children are affected 153% more, and they're more likely to be glued to their device all day and all night long, this could be causing problems, which then they diagnose SSRIs to fix. So I think the SSRIs are the problem, but I think that
it could be a combo. Yeah, I get what you're saying, because it's kind of like a combination of both, right? Like you get... You confuse your body hormonally, like what you're talking about. You're putting your body essentially in a microwave. I mean, Literally, who knows, right? Like, what's actually going on there? And I guess we have yet to find out, especially for the younger generation. I'm sure, you know, if we make it to 2060, that we'll have an idea.
Well, hopefully, if they do get this Starlink thing up and running and it works, the idea there is to get rid of cell phone towers, and that would be a positive. Because
Sorry, go ahead.
Oh well, let me pull this back down. I keep wanting to talk about that chart, but
I wanted to mention was that when I was in elementary school, we actually had we had this big flagpole in the middle of the school, right? And every morning, you know, they had like these assemblies and stuff just to get everyone started for the day, and it was all kind of revolving around this flagpole. Well, then I want to say around like third grade, they took out the flagpole and installed a cell site tower in the middle of the school.
And churches and schools are getting, they're being used for cell phone towers.
Yep. Well, I remember a ton of parents withdrew their kids when that happened. I mean, people knew it was a bad thing back then. But you're definitely right in terms of all these schools doing it. And the reason why, I'm not sure. I guess if it's a public school, you're, you know, could be considered government property. There's a lot of angles there.
Yeah, I don't know why they would put. Maybe they get funding. You know, like a lease. You know, lease the space or whatever, and that goes to the funding, which means my property tax should go down, but it won't. But anyway, I was looking at the, you know, like I said, I'm not saying that the 5G or any other EMF is causing kids to go crazy and shoot up a school. What I'm saying is it could be causing, we know for a fact that it causes mental problems, you know, as far as, you know, like acuity and things like that, brain fog. And so they could be getting diagnosed with stuff that they don't actually have. And then they get put on the SSRIs. And I think the SSRIs, and I'm looking at this chart right here, and let me bring it back up. This was from 2015 to 2019. You can see year after year, this is how many people are on, antidepressants. This is just antidepressants.
Females, look at that.
Yeah, females are real high, which is kind of odd. You know, it kind of like busts my theory because you don't see females going and shooting the school up. But of course, well,
You know, identify as one.
Yeah, right. But I mean, females are more likely to harm themselves, I think, whereas males are more likely to harm others.
Well, I'll put it this way. I mean, because this chart actually completely resonates exactly what I think I see on the everyday, which is, you know, just in terms of social aspects of life. You know, when I go out and I talk to people, like, especially females, I've noticed from a personal standpoint, everybody is incredibly quick now to just say, I have a mental health problem. And they're proud of it a lot of the time.
The victimhood thing. Yeah. The victimhood thing.
Yeah. I mean, the proud thing is more of a ploy in society right now. But in terms of them actually having a problem, I think a lot of them actually do. It is a common trend that, you know, not to sound like, you know, cliche, but a lot of guys will say, you know, oh, wow, these women are crazy. But it's like, no. You're 24 years old right now, and you meet another 24-year-old female. Like, they really are, you know, probably 80% of them really are kind of like off the rails right now. And I think a lot of it is having to do with the phone thing, you know, the 5G stuff. And someone's going to take offense to me saying that, but I have to preface, obviously, not all people are like that. But I think for the younger generation, it's affecting a lot more. Obviously, it's reflecting it on the chart that you're looking at.
Well, it even said that, you know, and these kids are growing up with a device in their hand. Like, we have the benefit of being older, and we didn't have these when we were developing these devices, right? We didn't have the Wi-Fi. I didn't get Wi-Fi until about, I put Wi-Fi in my house in Okinawa in probably around 2005, you know? Sure. So I grew up and, you know, I was in my mid-20s already before I was exposed to any like kind of high level of EMF, where these kids are getting in it. And the research shows, what did I say, 153% more absorption into them.
Great.
Yeah. And, you know, they're growing up with it. That's got to hinder development. And I don't think it's necessarily the 5G alone. And I put it, you know, if I ever do publish this article, I put it this way. If me and you go into the sun, I'm going to get sunburned before you will. Right. But I'm still safe to be out in the sun for a limited amount of time. But what if there was 30 suns in the sky?
Absolutely. You know,
that I would fry in a matter of 2 minutes. And that's where we've come now. We turned on the 5G. And that's why I pointed out the fact that they said, oh, we took the 3G out. No, they didn't. They never turned it on. Or they never turned it off.
To touch on what you were saying earlier, like with your wife's phone getting shut off, or I guess it was your phone. Or that was supposed to get
They shut her phone off thinking it was my phone because I had her old phone and it was a 3G phone. They were trying to get us to upgrade. That's basically
what it was. That obviously proves it right there that they're just trying to make everyone, you know, go into that system essentially.
I think maybe they know, and I see Karen Carpenter's backstage. I'll bring you in a second, Karen. I don't see a picture for you. But I'll bring you in a second. I think that they know this is dangerous. So they're trying to turn off one of the suns that are in the sky, you know, to kind of mask the fact that they're overexposing us.
And I was going to say, from my understanding, and I obviously don't have the documents on hand to prove this at the moment, but from my understanding, I mean, you can even get 5G through light, you know, just light poles and stuff.
Well, I've got... This is the thing here. You're almost talking 6G now. Let me share this.
Interesting.
So this is a chart here, and this right here, this second one from the left, microwaves, cell phones, things like that. And then it bumps into infrared, which is what can burn you. You know, that's what you can get burned from it, sunburned or whatever. Well, if you look at and I wish this actually had the frequencies listed here. But there's another one. Let me find it.
Here we go. That.
This is the proposed 6G. So these are the old legacy systems. Moving up 5G. And then 6G, of course, 6G is going to be the same as 5G. It's going to have the really high frequency that is like really close. And you're going to have super, super fast speed right there at the tower. But then as you move away, it's going to pick up on another band or another frequency. It's a little bit less speed, but it's a more durable. It can penetrate walls, things like that. But this top of this pyramid, it goes up to over 100 gigahertz. Now that pushes right up into infrared.
Interesting. Wow.
Yeah, it's pushing. And I did have another chart and I've lost it. I thought I saved it, but the chart actually shows the frequencies that move from microwaves into infrared, and 6G is right there. Like it's almost, you know, invisible light, because infrared's kind of invisible light. We can't see it, but you can see it with like a camera or something, you know.
Sure.
If you take your remote control, this is one of the tricks that that I learned, is if you don't know if your remote control lost, you know, your universal remote that you programmed, did it lose its programming because it don't work no more, or the battery's dead? You can actually point it at your cell phone with the camera on, and when you push the buttons, you'll see the light flickering. So your camera has the ability to, your digital camera has the ability to see the IR. We just can't see it with the naked eye. So we're pushing 6G is going to be pushing right up to the point of becoming infrared. Isn't that crazy?
That is actually really crazy. And obviously, you know, that just... I mean, I guess the end goal, because I mean, I think a lot of people, like, you know, we're in so deep on this, but I think a lot of people are wondering probably, you know, what is the goal, right? Like with all of this. And obviously, you know, and just in terms of mentioning the light post stuff, I know that that could be construed as a reach, unless I actually find the documents I've seen. But obviously it's for surveillance at the end of the day.
That's what I'm afraid of. And you know what? I'm going to pause here. Let's let Karen jump in. Welcome, Karen. How you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm in as Serge coined the term the other day, I was in the Communist Republic of Walmart waiting in, or no, Walgreens. Walgreens
Land
waiting
of the
in
yoga
line
pants.
To pick. Yes. And I heard you talking about children and their susceptibility. And yes, they are susceptible. And I've spent a lot of time. I have a good friend who works with children with autism and helps them repair their gut and take some steps to make a lot of gains. And it's very well known amongst the autism community or the more forward thinking autism moms and dads that if you remove the Wi-Fi exposure from a child who is struggling with developmental delays and autism symptoms, many of them will improve. They may even speak for the first time.
Yeah, I think Tiger and Vince and Rhonda actually touched on that a little bit last night. So they kind of touched on the mental aspect as well. But that's been shown.
Ultrasound. So this is something I actually didn't even think. So this is a weird one. I was doing a street interview over here with an activist against vaccines. And he mentioned ultrasound to me. It's just something I never thought of like that.
Yeah.
Even though you would think it'd be so just kind of common sense. But, yeah, I think, people putting ultrasound on their stomach to listen to their baby is putting them in an oven.
They're doing it now as a recreational activity or as kind of a status or symbol or something really awesome they think to do and to get that high definition ultrasound of their babies. And it does give amazing pictures. I have a new grandson and I kind of encouraged my daughter, you know, ultrasound is not something you do for fun. If you need to do it once or twice, that's okay. But you don't want to do it. You don't want to expose your baby to that. So I absolutely agree with you on that. I need to go. My phone battery is low, but I heard you mention about autism and exposure and things. And yes, absolutely, there is a link developmental delays.
It makes sense if it breaks down the blood-brain barrier and allows heavy metals to get in there. You know, we already know that aluminum in your antiperspirant and stuff like that is not good for cognitive health.
And glyphosate, which is, you know, Monsanto, the stuff that's sprayed on all of our foods, that glyphosate also makes the blood-brain barrier more permeable. So it's kind of like a perfect cocktail of all these things that poisons we're being exposed to.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah. Okay, I better go. I just wanted to throw that in. I'd be glad to do another show with you sometime on a more organized fashion.
Yeah, this was a lot to try to put together, and with the school shooting and all, I'm trying to make that link that, you know, is Wi-Fi and 5G and is that what's causing us to put kids on medication, which then later, because the medication isn't treating the actual problem, it's treating a different problem, so it doesn't work right.
You know, when I did that presentation on the show we did on EMF from the Invisible Rainbow, which is that goes through the history of the uptick in electrification and the connection to diseases, one of the first things that was noticed was what they called neurasthenia, which is the symptoms of anxiety, depression, sleep disorders, mood swings. The telegraphers were having these problems. So it's been around for a long time. It's just been relabeled. And now they're pushing drugs with it too.
Yeah. So, and then the drugs, when there's a dosage change, whether it's when they go on it or they reduce or go off of it, that's when these kids, you know, and even adults kind of lose their mind, you know. Well, not everybody, but some do. I'm waiting to see, you know, I don't want to jump to any conclusion with this latest shooting. It just got me thinking about it. And, I guess we'll find out if there was, medication involved with this one. Yeah.
Okay. No one died. No, I'm just kidding.
One kid did die.
I'm just parodying.
Oh, you're trying to do the Alex. Everyone pray for that person's family. It was a sixth grader that was dead. There were six total victims. I think they count the guy who shot himself, the 17-year-old Dylan Butler, I think is who they identified him as. I think they count him as one victim.
Interesting. Oh, really? They count him as a victim? The guy.
Well, I mean, I was watching it today. I was watching it today to try to get the updates on it, and they mentioned five people injured with one in the hospital, or I'm sorry, with one dying and then five others were being treated. So I'm like, well, where do you get the sixth victim from? So I'm assuming they count him as a victim as well.
Well, you know, when you think about it, you know, just from a broad scale, and I'm not giving this guy obviously any credit because what happened was terrible and it was a terrible thing. But, you know, these people are victims at the end of the day. They don't, whether they know it or not, they're just victims of,
Oh, looks like we lost Surge. Anyway, well, I'll see if he pops back in. Let me just show this again. Oh, there he is.
Oh,
okay, we got you back.
Where did I leave off?
The victims, that they're victims.
Oh, yeah. I was just going to say that these people that commit these mass shootings, even though it is a terrible thing, and I mean, it's horrible, obviously. They deserve zero credit for anything, but they are victims of, you know, this system that we live in, especially with psychiatrists taking advantage. I mean, that's got to be the, you know, the highest paying profession off the record right now as being a psychiatrist, because it's everyone and their brother going and getting meds, you know.
You know, I just speaking from personal experience, my stepson, we had him, of course, I move around a lot because I was military, and he had issues that he had to see people for. And every single person, you know, when we would move and get him a new person, they would diagnose him with a complete different set of things. There was no consensus on what was wrong with him. It's like throwing a freaking dart at the balloons at the carnival. You know, it's like, oh, maybe I'll hit one. They're just kind of guessing. They don't know, you know, and nobody knows if the kid's actually telling the truth or not. You know, if he did some outrageous stuff in school and he got himself in trouble, and all of a sudden, you know, we get the cops get called or whatever happens, and we say, okay, let's take him to the behavioral health person. He lied a lot of times to become the victim, to say, oh, it's not my fault that I was being a jerk to other people. It's because, you know, I feel this way, or I feel this way. And it was always something different with everybody we saw. And in fact, my daughter, my oldest daughter, she got diagnosed with depression and anxiety. And I'm like, oh, come on, man. It's like she lost a boyfriend. You know what I'm saying? What they did was, they had her on two different drugs because she was seeing two different doctors for different reasons. And they each prescribed her a different drug. And then she had a freak out, like a meltdown. And we took her, and they were going to diagnose her with bipolar disorder. And this doctor fortunately actually looked at her medical records and said, wait a minute, she's on this drug and this drug. When they're taken together, they give the symptoms of bipolar.
Wow.
So they're going to put her on another drug for bipolar on top of the other two drugs she didn't even need to be on. So we got that all scaled back, and it took some time, and it was rough. When you come off them drugs, it's rough.
I have a personal experience with that, actually, which I wasn't even going to share this, but until you mentioned that, when I was a minor, so I would have been, like maybe 16 or so, my mom basically just went along with exactly what you're saying and said, you know, she basically, you know, my parents got divorced, and all of a sudden she's, you know, has two boys, doesn't know how to deal with it. And, you know, so she starts thinking, oh, well, you guys are off the rails. It's like, no, we're, we're just dicks, you know, we're 16 years old. Right. And, you know, so she starts going and basically finding psychiatrists, thinking, hey, there's something wrong with my kids or whatever. And I, you know, ended up taking, I don't even know if they were SSRIs, but like, I don't know, is Zoloft an SSRI? I think it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I'd have to look it up, but I'm pretty sure it is.
I took Zoloft for a short time, and I can't remember what the other, I think it was called Remeron or something like that.
It's a serotonin reuptake inhibitor. I just looked it up.
And so here's the crazy thing, right? So when I went to the psychiatrist, I didn't think anything was wrong with me at the time. And the psychiatrist never acknowledged that there was anything wrong with me at the time, but funneled the drugs essentially under the table. So it was only between him and my mother. So I actually had no clue why I was even taking this. And I took these for about, I want to say 2 years. And luckily now I feel fine. I took it for about 2 years. Yeah. I think I was 15 actually. And then one day I realized, exactly what you're talking about, where I felt like I just had, brain fog, like to a massive extent. I mean, it actually felt like it had caused worse problems. You know, like I was saying, I felt fine beforehand. And then all of a sudden, I'm 2 years into this, and I'm like, wow, I feel like a different person, essentially. It's kind of hard to even explain unless, you know, if you've taken those substances. But one day, I just decided to cold turkey. Luckily for me, nothing happened. I don't know how, but I actually felt better, like, immediately. I know for a lot of people, they cold turkey, and, you know, some serious, I mean, you basically get the
magic. Yeah, my daughter and my stepson, stepdaughter and stepson, both, when they would not take their meds after about 2 days, would flip out. They would, really? I mean, they were completely unmanageable. So that's good that you didn't have that experience, but you know, I think that, you know, going back to the topic, if there's some chemical imbalances in the brain, which we've shown that happens when exposed to one frequency of 5G, or not 5G, of one frequency of EMF, they all have kind of their different effects. Look at this. These are the different bands. Look at how many. You get a 4G phone, you're getting hit with all this, a 4G tower rather, all these different frequencies. Look at the 5G. So remember when I counted up my signals, you know, what I got going on in the house, and I said it's 30 plus. Yeah.
Wow.
I got 4G and 5G here from two different, you know, AT&T and Verizon or whatever. And they're each broadcasting, you know, this much crap. So it's pretty serious what we're being exposed to. And if our children are acting up or they're doing bad in school and things like that, because of all of this that we're exposing them to, of course, if somebody comes out and says, well, are you acting up because you feel this way? There's my way out, you know? Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel this way. Oh, here's some drugs for you. And that's what my kids were doing. They were looking for an excuse for their behavior. That's what they were doing. And of course, they're always constantly on their doggone phone. And I had the Wi-Fi. I didn't know anything about all this back then, you know? So I had like, basically four Wi-Fi networks in the house and a repeater. And, you know, like, was I Wi-Fi? No, I wasn't Wi-Fi on my computer, but you know, we had like three kids in the house that each had a tablet and a phone.
Well, think about all these people that have Apple Watches now, Tim, and you literally have this glued to your skin all day, you know?
Yeah. I wear mine, occasionally when I sleep. It's actually a Fitbit, but already got that to monitor. I only got that to monitor my sleep and my heart rate and things like that, you know, and then track my miles every day. Sure. But I don't wear it every day. I wear it when I need to wear it.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I think it's everything you're saying is exactly right with that. And I think, unfortunately, now, too, with all the technology moving so quickly, I think, you know, and not to knock anyone, obviously anyone in this community keeps up with it just fine, but I think for a lot of people, they don't even realize what has hit them before, or I should say after it already has. I guess to me, it just seems like it's easier now for like people in their 40s and 50s to become dinosaurs to this information, because it's progressing so fast if you're not in tune with it. Because obviously they're not talking about any of this stuff in the mainstream media at all. So people are literally unaware that this is happening.
So, and that's the crazy part. I'm not going to bring it on screen, but I had another article to share. I'll just read the little snippet. But it talks about how EMFs and Wi-Fi, this is specifically talking about Wi-Fi, can make your mental health worse. And it says, as of March 22nd, 2017, 225 scientists from 42 countries, they signed a letter that urged the United Nations, the WHO, it's a World Health Organization, and governments around the world to develop stricter controls on devices that emit EMFs. And it goes on and on. And then it says, as a result of the increasing amount of research, which is what dinosaurs like me, I always thought radio was safe. I thought Wi-Fi was safe. Maybe it was relatively safe. Like it's one sun in the sky. It's not 20 suns in the sky burning the crap out of you. But anyway, as a result of it, the World Health Organization has now reclassified radio frequency EMFs as a class 2B carcinogen.
Wow.
Yes. And let me see when this article was written.
The Wi-Fi is written, like smoking a pack of cigarettes.
Yeah, right. So this was written in October of last year, October 2023. So it's acknowledged already that it's a carcinogen. And then I knew that the ULF, the ultra low frequency, or ELF, extremely low frequency, I knew that was a carcinogen because I worked with an ELF antenna while in the Army. It was one that communicated with submarines. And we couldn't really be hanging out at that place very long because it's not like it's pointing into the water. It's omnidirectional, right? I feel bad for the people that lived around there. You know, and it was kind of out on a point, like all off by itself. So maybe that's why they put it out there like that.
Well, you know, some people don't think about either is concerts, which, again, from personal experience, I used to do, you know what, that, man, and you know what, I didn't even think about this until now, but I literally had brain fog every day of my entire life doing concerts, like five nights a week. And I think, now that I'm thinking about it, I don't even know why I didn't put that together, but had to have been because of all the EMF frequencies surrounding every piece of equipment that we were using. And a lot of it was run on 5G, actually. And I know some people listening that aren't like audio people probably don't exactly understand what I'm talking about. But like, basically, when you wire up a soundboard, nowadays, so much stuff isn't analog. You're just dealing with Bluetooth digital signals that are also functioning on radio frequency. It's usually one or the other. A lot of it, more so, is you know, RF radio
frequency. Well, it's faster setup time because you ain't gotta run wires everywhere, you know.
Yeah, but like I remember doing shows where I would run like 25 mics, all wireless, not even including routing the consoles together, also wireless. Everything's wireless. Sometimes even the speakers, we had some functionalities that were wireless. So think about, you're going to a concert nowadays too. You're just in a giant oven, especially if it's indoors.
Yeah. And it's the accumulation. It's like I always say, it's not just the intensity, but it's the distance and duration. If you're close to it, that's why I think the Starlink is so dangerous, because it's so many more times closer than a standard geosynchronous satellite. It's way infinitely closer. Like, it's just right up there, and they're in clusters because they're moving. They can't stay in one spot because they're so close to the Earth. They fall in, so they're constantly moving. But they have to have a lot of them up there. And I think, you know, in light of what we just talked about, that they've already classified the EMF as a carcinogen officially, you know, on a world stage. I think that's why maybe they were trying to force people out of the 3G, because they wanted to add the 5G, but it's going to be a little too much. So we got to get rid of the 3G, you know? The thing is that the 5G and the 4G, 5G, and then even the 6G are still going to be utilizing some of those same frequencies, so it doesn't really matter. And then you're going to have the Starlink on top of it. Starlink's goal is to get rid of cell phone towers. 100% of the Earth covered. Wow. You won't be able to escape it. Now, that wouldn't necessarily be a bad thing, because if we could get rid of the old cell phone towers, the 4G, the 5G, if we can turn those off, maybe that wouldn't be overexposure, you know. Maybe it would be a safe level.
Starlink's Elon Musk, right?
Yeah.
Am I wrong about that?
No, that's Elon. SpaceX and Starlink. Yeah.
I mean, he's got a trend with spying on people.
Yeah. Well, there is no way in hell we're going to be able to petition to say, hey, we don't want 5G, we don't want Starlink, so please, you know, we can't sue them and tell them, you know, you're harming me. Even with all the proof in the world, they're going to make it happen, because they need the system in place for CBDC. They need it for mass surveillance and for control.
I think if anyone's wondering where that's going, just look at Sidewalk Labs in Toronto.
Yeah.
That whole experiment. That's pretty much your quintessential surveillance state. And then with the help of 5G or 6G, it doesn't matter, because I think what's going on right now, right? So here's, and I guess, well, this will kind of segue into like our podcast tomorrow. But like, okay, right now I've noticed just personally being out on the street, lots of people don't like when you film them with your iPhone or camera or whatever. They say, oh, you're invading my privacy. I need to consent. Well, first of all, I don't. That's a separate subject if I'm on a public sidewalk, obviously. But the second factor is, how do you not realize that you're being surveilled literally everywhere you go? Every, mm-hmm. I mean, you, like Karen mentioned Walmart earlier. And I mean, how many cameras does a single Walmart have in it and outside of it and in the parking lot? You know? So I think we're making those steps there and people are unaware is what.
Well, I'll tell you this. A card reader, right? The one that you would slide your card through and then it became stick your card into because of the chip. And then it became just tap the card.
Now, yeah, Whole Foods just tap your scan your hand now.
It's training. Yeah, they're training us. And then I noticed maybe a month or two ago, I went to the store for my wife and they had got a new card reader. And it was the tappy tap kind, you know, where you could slide an old card. You could stick the smart chip in there. But if it had the RFID, excuse me, had the RFID in there, you could just tap it. And I looked down and it had a camera on it. So really? Now they've added a camera. Yeah. So look at the, if you go into a store and they have the little card reader that sits there at the register, take a look at it. It's going to have a little, you know, just like a cell phone camera, which you see on the front, the little circle. But it had a camera on it. I'm like, why would you need a camera on a payment method? And unless you're going to go with facial recognition and biometrics.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Yeah, with the facial, obviously, I think the IRS, I mean, not to get off topic, but I think the IRS making that step with their website to do facial recognition is pretty much where that's going, you know?
Yeah. Well, I've already seen where they, you know, they advertise. I forget where I saw it, but it was some commercial on the internet where a dude walks into a, you know, a Quickie Mart or whatever, grabs him a soda and a pack of bubble gum and whatever. It knows what items he grabbed and how much that costs. And he walks out of the store.
Wow.
And it used biometric facial recognition to know who he was and deduct that automatically from his account, probably CBDC at that point. But that's where they're going to go with it is, you know, and I've literally seen places that have no, if you go in Cheyenne Mountain, that's NORAD, right? They have a little, like a shopette. They call it a shopette. It's where you get little snacks and stuff like that, coffee or whatever. Kind of like a little gas station, I guess, but they have one inside and there's nobody that works there. You go in and it's an honor system. Now that one, you still have to go to the checkout and pay, and you pay with a card or whatever. But yeah, and I used it, you know, grab a sandwich or whatever. You go pay and then you walk out and it knows if you paid or not because it's watching you with a camera. How far until they just tie you to an account and say, oh, that's Mr. Jason Barker right there. We're just going to deduct it from his bank account. It's not that far away.
Yeah, I think you just nailed it. That's pretty much it. I think that's it. It's definitely, I think the biggest thing for everyone, I mean, not just in America, but worldwide, but mostly America, because I feel like we're the last holdout for the world. That's just how I see it. But I think the biggest thing going on underneath the surface right now is CBDC. So yeah. I think you just nailed it on the head.
I think that's why no matter how much we protest this, it's not going to go away. Karen made a couple good comments in the chat. She was talking about the elderly. There's a big push to have them wear an iWatch for fall monitoring. Okay. But she says they're high EMF. And then she also said, about the walking out without having to check yourself out or whatever. She said they have restaurants like that in England. And I know there's a lot of places that they're going to that, you know.
Yeah. Europe always seems to be ahead of all of that. And, you know, it shows when you talk to a lot of, I always have to say not everyone, but I think everyone kind of knows that. But when you talk to people from Europe, a lot of the time nowadays, they are for it. I've noticed they don't even very socialist ideologies, which is just communist with a nice bow on it, that they don't realize is what they actually think. You know?
And I've talked to people that were stationed. I was never stationed in Europe. I've been through there, been through Germany, just at the airport passing through. But people who were stationed there, they're always bragging about how much better everything is. The roads are better. This is better. That's better. You know, they don't have to pay for their own national defense. So they can have these socialist programs and, you know, be all futuristic like this. We can't. And that's a whole different topic, but that kind of grinds my gears when they talk about how awesome it is in Europe. I was like, yeah, because we,
it's awesome.
We send them money. We send them military. I mean,
here's where it always comes full circle with me here. You say it's so awesome. So wait until the government comes knocking on your door. That's all, you know, you guys don't have the Second Amendment, and that's what it comes down to at the end of the day. For me personally, I that's what I think.
Yeah. Oh, I lost you. You went black right there. My wife's telling me I need to get off here. I know we've been running long. But anyway, I'm glad everyone joined us in the chat. We had Risha joined us. What's going on, Risha? I hope you're feeling better. And then a bunch of different names, I think, might all be Doc with different accounts. But anyway, I guess we lost Serge. I don't know if he's going to pop back in or not. But hey, thanks for joining me, Serge. It was great. There he is.
I apologize. Yeah, I heard. If you got to jump off. I got to head out too.
yeah. But anyway, I had one more last thing to say, but I think we beat a dead horse here. My point of tonight's episode was, you know, we've covered EMF and the physical health problems, which we talked about a lot tonight, but the mental health, and I'm not even just talking about being glued to this phone and what it does to you socially, as far as interacting with people. But like the physical blood-brain barrier stuff, the heavy metals in the brain, the chemical imbalances, all these things, and looking at how kids act nowadays, and even young people in general that have grown up with technology, they seem to be off. You know, yeah. Of course, some people are going to be affected more than other people. We know this. So is it our technology that's getting them to that breaking point, or is it the technology gets them to a point where they go on medication for something they don't actually have? And then because they forget to dose themselves, or they maybe have a change in dosage, stop taking it, whatever, is that when they snap? So I don't know, just some food for thought for everybody.
I think you nailed it tonight, and great work, man. I have to say, I mean, you put a lot of effort into all of these reports tonight. I mean, you, I think you opened my eyes to a couple things for sure.
Well, I tell you, just doing this research myself, and I was going to save this for a later day. I think Karen and I were, or I was going to ask Karen to come on and do a really detailed report. But I don't know. I got my eyes opened a lot to like just taking inventory in my house. And I would suggest everybody do that. Everybody take inventory of how many devices you actually have emitting EMF, and think about, have you had brain fog? And maybe it wasn't enough 2 years ago to get you over that edge, you know, having the Wi-Fi on your phone and the Bluetooth and all this stuff. Maybe it wasn't quite enough, but now that we've added another layer, which is 5G, which you've seen how many bands it's actually spitting out, not just one band, that might be why you're experiencing the brain fog. You know, don't start taking medications over it. Try to mitigate it. You know, turn your Wi-Fi off at night, sleep far away, you know, move the router somewhere else, whatever you got to do to put your phone in airplane mode. Your alarm will still wake you up in the morning, you know, in airplane mode. Whatever you got to do to reduce those, you know, those signals down to a reasonable level to where you're not getting overexposed. Take 20 suns in the sky burning you and reduce it to 5, you know, so you can get out and enjoy. And then also get outside. One of the articles, and I wish they didn't expand on it, but one of the articles, somebody was researching it, and they said they went and lived in the woods for 10 days away from everything. And they didn't exactly say, maybe I had an abbreviated version of the article, but I wanted to see what the result was. Hmm. You know, did your head get clear? Did you feel healthier? You know, did your heart stop palpitating? You know, like,
I know I certainly feel better out in nature.
Yeah. And I think I wish Tiger would have jumped in here, because I wanted to ask him about that, because he goes out every single day with his dog Bouncer, and he'll go, you know, 4 or 5 miles a day out in the woods. So he gets, you know, to get away from it for a while. And I don't know, I'll ask him offline if he seems to feel clear headed after that or whatever.
Sure.
But anyway, thanks for coming on, man. I don't like doing shows alone. I like the dialogue, so I really appreciate it. Absolutely. And I want to thank everybody in the chat. I think I called everyone out already, or gave them a shout out. And real quick, talking about you, you are moving your show. Well, not 100% moving, but you're going on to Rumble, right?
Yeah, I plan on taking all of the podcast stuff, pretty much only doing Rumble and Twitter.
Okay, because you think YouTube's probably going to boot you at some point, right?
Yeah, I just see, like, I mean, for my on-the-street stuff, I can keep it tame enough, I think. But, yeah, for all the podcast stuff, you know, I think it's pointless to even try to do it on YouTube.
All right. Well, hey, everybody, if you're listening to this, please go to theknightsofthestorm.com. Go to the little friends button up top. It's like right in the middle up top. Go down to the bottom. And it's not a ranking thing. So you're just at the bottom because you're last one I added.
But, I didn't even think anything of it.
Yeah, go. You'll see Surge the Purge. It's got the purple background and it's got Surge on there. Hit the Rumble link and then just hit the follow button. Why is it? I'm following you. Okay, I guess I wasn't. This must be a new account. So cool, you got one more follower. I followed you last time I did this. So I guess
that's hilarious.
I'm logged into Knights of the Storm on this one. Okay, so I must have not did that before. But yeah. And then I guess I'll plug another couple people. Modern Retro Radio right here. Go check him out. That's Audi. He's our buddy. This is new music by old artists kind of thing. Either that or it'll be like a song that wasn't like severely overplayed from the past. And he does other cool stuff. And then check out Tony Arterburn, Wise Wolf, if you're into precious metals. I kind of wanted to talk about that a little bit tonight, but I'll save it for next time. And you use promo code Foxhole, by the way, and you'll save a little bit of money. And I'll get a little kickback. So, and then of course, David Knight, we all know David Knight. He's on empty right now. So make sure you contribute to him. I know the holidays just passed, but if you can, he works on pretty much donations. And you can buy some of this stuff. This is the coolest shirt ever. The MacGuffin shirt. I love that shirt. Yeah. And I've got the mug here. You can see I got my David Knight mug and I got my David Knight pen, you know, makes you write smarter. But anyway, I'll go ahead and get us out of here, man. What's your final thoughts on all this EMF stuff?
Yeah, I mean, do what you can. Obviously, it's, you know, nearly, if you have to function in society, I mean, even for us who like run a podcast, it's nearly impossible to be completely away from it. But, you know, do your best. I know they have the Faraday cages. You know, if they actually work or not is kind of debatable, frankly. But I mean, some of them are better than others, but I don't, you know, if you could just.
Oh, we lost you again.
Oh no.
I can hear you. I just can't see you. Oh, anyway. Yeah. I think the thing is, you know, see what you can do to reduce your EM exposure. There was a pretty cool video. It was a TED talk and I wanted to play clips of it. But I didn't. He gave a bunch of great suggestions.
It is what it is.
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Oh, yeah. I can hear you.
Oh.
But, yeah, this guy was talking about this guy in this TED. Oh, he went away again. This guy in this TED talk was talking about wiring your house, like hardwiring it, getting away from the Wi-Fi, you know, maybe getting a fiber optic connection. You know, this was like 7 years ago. This guy saw this. So anyway, you know, do your own research, find out what you can do. And, you know, if you think the EMF is what's causing your brain fog and your issues, maybe that is, you know, you can keep yourself off medications and stuff if you just kind of do some research on it. But anyway, I'm going to go ahead and get out of here. Sorry for the connection problems there, but I guess that does it for tonight. Remember to hold your ground, watch the enemy, improve the foxhole, and always look out for one another. Until next time.
You've been watching The Foxhole with Jason Barker.